Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. Last week, I had a chance to talk about a great book I am reading, and a little bit later, I'll share another one, and hope your week is off to a great start, and no funks on the horizon. I will also share later on lots of great events coming up at the Barclay, at the Claire Trevor. Fantastic shows. So I'll share some details on that. And so I'm not going to delay bringing my first guest on. And he's standing by. I'm going to be speaking with executive producer Nate Elliott about this powerful film called Black Mark, exploring the story of a former NBA player, Matt Barnes. Now, if you're not familiar, Matt faced harassment, tremendous harassment, racial prejudice, both on and off the court, and through Nate's lens, Black Mark not only tells Barnes' personal journey, but is going to also shed light on the wider issues of racial bias in sports and society. So I'm going to bring Nate on right now. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Nate.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to start with this question because we chatted briefly, but I want to know what inspired you to tell, you know, Matt's story through Black Mark.
So I'd always known about Matt Barnes as a big time sports fan, and I was up in Toronto, and the former teammate of his brother, who played in the Canadian Football League, kept telling me, "He's like, you need to meet Matt Barnes." So I made a special trip, this is pre-COVID, down to meet Matt, and we had this meeting at the Ace Hotel, and very quickly, you know, we got beyond the sports mat into, you know, what his background is, and he went into this story when he was a senior at Del Campo High School in 1998, mm-hmm. where the Ku Klux Klan came to the school, tried to burn it down, and put a hit on his head, and for 1998, obviously we're the same age, I simply couldn't believe it. And I left that meeting just sort of thinking about the fact that the guy that I know and the athlete, this rough and tumble, chip on his shoulder athlete that only understood from afar, was way different than the person that I had met that chance day.
Sure.
And that was the inspiration for Black Mark.
Yeah. I mean, because everybody has this, you know, public persona, this professional persona, but they don't really understand the personal challenges, and he really faced tremendous struggles in his life.
Yeah, like the public persona of Matt Barnes was, as I said, a rough and tumble player, you know, record-breaking suspensions, record-breaking fines, and sort of that was the guy, as most of the people sort of understand that. Yes, he had to play with a chip on his shoulder to stay in the league for 14 years, as he has specific sort of role. But there was always something sort of beyond the surface, which I think a lot of people tried to understand, mm-hmm. and just spoke to the fact that he had lived a life. And this kind of idea, as he details, as, you know, dual identities, you know, never black enough, you know, for that side, and never white enough. And sort of he was always in this sort of, you know, middle ground and never fitting in on either side. And so that he detailed from his childhood, obviously moving around from, you know, city to city based on sort of the flow of his parents. And then we get to this predominantly white school in Sacramento. And for this to happen, where he's just a few months away from, you know, a full ride scholarship at UCLA, mm-hmm. like the story was like incredible and literally unbelievable to me. And we just had to tell it.
Without giving too much away, would you like to share with listeners a little bit about the film?
Yeah, for sure. So Black Mark is part of a larger series that looks at Black Mark episodes in the lives of professional athletes. And we've defined Black Mark at once as scar tissue of racial trauma and experiences that forever changes the athlete. At the same time, black marks are emblems of hope and survival, which propel the athletes to become the best in the world at what they do. So we chose Matt's story, you know, out of the gate and to tell this story of Del Campo, but how it sort of led to this life of obviously a tumultuous reality but how he used that episode from 1998 to fuel him as the basketball player. As I said, you know, this is Matt that people really sort of don't understand, sort of the athlete and why he did the things that he needed to do to stay in that said league. Yeah. But the story just takes it from that Del Campo sort of episode of what happened and the tremendous effect on him, to the loss of his mother, to the sports narrative of where he was part of the We Believe team that went on this epic run. Is before the Golden State Warriors were the Golden State Warriors, you know, they had this, you know, chance run within the playoffs that sort of forever changed that franchise.
Sure.
And that was sort of monumental with respect to that team. And then just finally, like, his ascent into being one of the top podcasters and media personalities in the world today. So this idea of going from that experience that he had in 1998 to just 2 weeks ago interviewing Michelle Obama and being the first interview of Kamala Harris during the presidential race.
Fantastic.
And the list of athletes and personalities and actors that all the smoke and that amazing production team has done was compelling. So we just wanted to show that arc and how Matt's story is likely the same arc as many other, not only athletes, but people and Black people's stories sort of globally, and to use this as inspiration and fuel to say you're not alone.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that. You know, I was, as you're talking, I was thinking here, there was this 17-year-old Matt and the community turns against him. And now there was a great line in the film, what happened to him became rocket fuel. And it's so true.
It is. And he's been driven by that fire. Like, as you saw in the film, we used fire as sort of that sort of overarching aesthetic and sort of the look when we were doing sort of the interviews. That's very clear. Like, you see the intensity of Matt, that you, and that's something that sort of hasn't been lost over time. But you've also seen that there's been this reality that people haven't understood that has propelled him, one, to be a great athlete, two, to be a great father, and thirdly, the media personality that sort of we see today. So it's just this real sort of unveiling, or the opening of the onion that is Matt, you know, to show sort of the man, but this figure that he is today. You know, a lot of the film focuses on his key role as a leader in the social justice movement. And for a time, obviously, that was the thing to do. Obviously, we all know the stories on Black Lives Matter, et cetera. But Matt has doubled down, quadrupled down on the need to sort of obviously understand Black identity, the role of Black people within sort of today's society, and has not come off that mark whatsoever. In fact, it's, you know, more focused on that than ever before through his production company, All the Smoke. And you can see that, and it's sort of very clear. So obviously the spirit of this film, obviously, that was, you know, really around, you know, the rights movement that's taking place, has just sort of grown in time as Matt is, you know, day to day in this space and continues to be.
Sure. So as a filmmaker, how are you balancing telling that his personal story with addressing systemic issues like racism?
Yeah, and I mean, I will say that, you know, this was my first film, right? So I come from, I'm the CEO of a pretty significant technology and media business, and we make content all the time. And this was kind of my, you know, foray into the space. And, you know, from that perspective, we had to be, you know, exceptionally thoughtful about the space in terms of the teams that we put together, in terms of the people that we included in the film. And that was the lens of which we took. So I aligned with a super talented director, Jaron Hayman, with the support of Deion Taylor, who's a leading sort of director in the space in his own right. And we basically sort of put together an entirety of an ecosystem that involved an entirely Black film crew to, you know, bring this sort of film and sort of this vision to life. Through to, you know, obviously sort of key decisions on inclusions from Matt's sister within the film to Earl Watson, and just key sort of team members that played an active role to give a full understanding of Matt, and also disassociating Matt from the narrative.
Yes.
So he played some role sort of at the beginning on obviously speaking to what he thought key themes were, but we were able to take that way to provide a nuanced, balanced story. And we went into the fact is that we did not want to sugarcoat. Obviously, it's a very tough film. It's very difficult to watch. Language is difficult, but we wanted to stay true to the authenticity, you know, that is sort of Matt Barnes. And I think we effectively were able to deliver that because we engaged, you know, a full suite of people, you know, to bring this to light.
And Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg. Yeah, exactly. You know, that, I thought it was fun how we had him sort of, you know, voice over Matt's thing, and that's become like Snoop Dogg's thing ever since, right? Whether it be Olympic Games, et cetera, he does a great job. And he has a great relationship with Matt because they're exceptionally real.
Mm-hmm.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
And that's something that I learned through that sort of film process, and I can see why they're close friends.
Yeah, definitely. And I also really enjoyed hearing the perspective of his sister, and how he really protected her, and just that whole dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that sort of strikes me was the familial interest in sort of engaging in this project.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's very clear and very honest. They did not live a very sort of easy existence. Obviously, you know, his dad has gone on to really good things, you know, in current form. But yeah, it was lived a tough life. And, you know, while he always, you know, was given the bare essentials, you know, he had to fight for everything that he had. And his sister has that perspective, clearly a supreme love for Matt. And that the result of Matt being sort of, you know, headhunted, literally by the KKK was a result of, you know, racism that his sister was facing. And that sort of episode that really sort of kickstarted what happened there and at Del Campo.
Yeah. Were there some challenging parts to producing this film?
Yeah, the beginning of the film was actually produced at the height of COVID, and it's taken some time, obviously, to bring it to light. I'm Canadian, as you can likely tell in my accent.
Mm-hmm.
So being one of only a few on flights where I had to quarantine for 15 days on either side of the border, so there were just logistics sort of challenges. Actually finding studios that were willing to sort of work with us and open to sort of shoot this and going between sort of cities. So that was sort of a challenge, but we also saw the challenge as opportunity. As mentioned, I had a tech company, so you likely saw in this documentary that it had a different look and feel than you typically see from, you know, your typical doc.
Yes.
Feels more like a music video in terms of its aesthetics.
That was great.
So we used something called virtual production, which FrontRunner is very familiar with. So we created and basically worked with a technology that was first used in The Mandalorian to create these sort of amazing sort of scenes, and then we immersed Matt within it. So the intent of the narrative was Matt was taking a look back in sort of a time capsule scenario in his life, and we actually mimicked that on set where Matt saw none of what you saw in the film in that virtual set, and we were able to bring him in so he could experience his life kind of like that sort of, you know, time capsule that you see at the beginning and throughout the film. And then like a second narrative arc was actually getting photographs that he was actually curating in real time. And you saw that digital dark room that we had sort of created.
Yes.
And he saw not only photos, but also videos of his mothers that he'd never seen.
Oh.
So there was this true like emotional reality to Black Mark that allowed him really for the first time to dissect and look back sort of on this episode and what it meant to him. You could tell, you know, like we had an entire section dedicated to his mother. That was his rock. And when he lost her to cancer at the height of the, you know, run that he was going on Golden State, just the juxtaposition of that sort of reality, you know, really sort of came through in the film where you just feel sorry for this, like, great guy that sort of is obviously facing a lot and has faced a lot for quite some time.
Definitely. And was it a decision with you and Matt to make the film this length?
Yeah, so we intentionally chose it as a short film because we knew as we were going through the project that there was a bigger vision here. So we saw this as part of a series.
Okay.
So I have, unfortunately, a laundry list of athletes that have each face Black Mark episodes sort of, you know, on their own, and that's how we're positioning the story. This story that is mad affects literally hundreds of athletes, and that's how we're sort of positioned it. So now within the marketplace, and we're nearing distribution, hence our conversation here today, it's going to be a far larger project than sort of we envisioned in the early onset, but the more we got into this, we knew that these Black Mark episodes were way more than just Matt itself. You know, we're looking at this as obviously curriculum in universities.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously now Matt's, you know, positioning within the podcast and all the smoke and being the millions of impressions that they're garnering, you know, weekly in some cases, there's this unique opportunity for an ecosystem to bring it together. So to answer your question, yes, early on we saw it as a short with a bigger purpose and as a series with a bigger purpose. And now you can look at it sort of holistically, or when the world sees it in its finality.
Yes.
It ranges from, obviously, on that front. Like, the timing of this interview is interesting, and the fact that my sister, who's a social worker in Canada, who works with First Nations Indigenous communities, is showing this film to, you know, actually hundreds of, you know, Indian or Indigenous sort of kids.
Yes.
As she believes that what Matt experienced is, you know, at the roots of some of the experiences and the troubles that, you know, kids that she's working with day to day.
Sure.
To give this idea that there is hope, that these sort of episodes can be used as we know, rocket fuel to propel. And it takes heroes like Matt to be able to do so, and stories just like this.
Yeah. It is a great message to share. I know the language can be a little colorful, but it's a great message to share, especially for a younger audience, you know, if the teachers see it's appropriate.
Exactly. And I mean, what is great about the film has also made it the challenge of the film, right, in terms of distribution, right, because of the fact that sort of we live in this age that we have a lot of tensions in our day-to-day life.
Yes.
You'll see a lot of the filmmaking that and stuff that's getting, you know, greenlit doesn't tend to have the tonality because a lot of us are, you know, experiencing that in the news sort of day-to-day. So it takes a special distribution partner to understand the power that sort of Black Mark sort of has. And I'm super happy, obviously, you know, that we've seemingly sort of found that seam, you know, for distribution for the world to see this.
Yes. So if you could spark one action or one mindset change in viewers, what would you like that to be?
The intent of filmmaking and storytelling is to create memorable experiences that we watch and listen to and apply. So the hope with Front Runner is that people go into it, with Black Mark, is that people go into it with eyes wide open and see that there's this single individual that could represent literally tens to hundreds of thousands of others. And just to be open-minded and use it as a platform to ask questions.
Yeah.
And use it as a platform to understand Matt's dynamic and how does that affect me. I think it's the idea of bringing people closer together, that not everything meets the eye, that everyone is facing a challenge that we might not know anything about. And through that, if we can focus on kindness, you know, through this sort of process,
yes,
I think it will be a successful project.
Definitely. I want to congratulate you on the film showing at the 20th Annual Holly Shorts Film Festival. When is that?
Yes, it was great. That was awesome. So we actually, with this film, we won Best Documentary Sports.
Congratulations.
There was a significant sort of panel, and actually on that panel, who headed the panel was of jurors, was Ron Artest, who spoke very highly of the film. So
great.
We were really happy because it's an Oscar-qualifying film festival.
Sure.
And we also had the great fortune of debuting this at Tribeca as part
Fantastic.
Of the Creator Marketplace. So Tribeca sort of deemed this to be, you know, a game-changing film project. So we got to spend several days in New York as part of the festival, just meeting sort of other creators, and got the opportunity to showcase the film at the Robert De Niro Theater right in the heart of Soho.
Fantastic.
So again, yeah, I think, you know, it's like we're grateful for platforms like yours and, you know, today that are genuinely interested in this. And that's the intent, right? There's so many great films that are out there that never get the eyeballs that they deserve. And we just want people to understand Black Mark sort of far and wide. And the festival wins have been more than just like a cherry on top. We've been able to use them as fuel to, you know, work towards, you know, distribution, which, as I said, has been a challenge.
Yeah. Do you feel that filmmakers have this responsibility to confront the issues that you bring up in their filmmaking?
Yeah, I think documentary filmmakers face a lot of challenges in their day-to-day. Obviously, there's all sorts of, you know, unique opportunities sort of globally to tell fascinating stories that range from, you know, social to, you know, political. But as filmmakers, you have to understand your own ethos and what you're sort of bringing to the world and sort of what is the intent of this film. Obviously, we want this film, in our case, to be popular. We want it to appeal to generations of Black people who might be experiencing the same thing. So I do think that you have to have a larger purpose, and you can't be selfish in the exercise. And you quickly recognize when you get into this that, you know, the film is not about you. It is about sort of a larger audience and what those takeaways will be. And I think those are the best films that sort of stand a test of time, of universal themed commentary that we can bring to our day-to-day, apply them, and become better as a result.
Yeah. And I think about all the things that Matt has done since retiring in 2017. I mean, NBA analyst for ESPN, and now this hit podcast, All the Smoke. He's very open about mental health and personal mistakes and challenges and growth, and I think that's really tremendous for younger athletes to hear.
Yeah, that's one thing that what with Matt is that since meeting him, he's never sugarcoated anything, and you know he addresses those problems sort of head on, which you know continue as they for all of us through the entirety of life. But the big thing about him is that he owns those. You'll see that in the film that he owned his own sort of mistakes, and obviously it's obviously an ascent or a transcendence as an individual. But, you know, he went within a 5-year period of not knowing what a podcast is to, you know, having one of the top sort of in the world and recognizing in particular that they can operate outside of the traditional media landscape.
That's
and
right.
That seems normal today, but 2 years ago, that wasn't even normal. Years ago, that was crazy that you were going on creating your own distribution channels, doubling down on YouTube and sort of leveraging sort of all those unique opportunities and recognizing the powers of advertisers. Where you could take, you know, your narratives and your platforms outside of those traditional landscapes, which he was a leader in its own right, you know, to go it alone. And that's a big thing, not only, you know, in the Black community in particular, of individual ownership of the IP. You know, when I guess it was 2 years ago that All the Smoke got the entirety of their IP because it was previously produced under Showtime. So that was huge. And now he's gone on to that they have their fight, they have their boxing, they have their own production sort of business that's focusing on feature and documentary films. So definitely, he is reaping the rewards of taking early gambles of that people wanted to listen to athletes in their authentic self, that networks simply was unable to do so in that unfiltered way. And as a result, they are top of the game and only growing in time.
It's fantastic. So we do have to wrap up, but where can people find out more about you and see the film?
Yeah, so the film will be announced in its release coming up in the next several weeks.
Okay.
So I'm really excited to perhaps jump on you with you again, you know, to sort of detail that.
Sure.
They can find out about me, just Nathan Elliott. I'm the CEO of Frontrunner. We're doing a lot of great things. And you can look for our content in a window front near you as we take vacant retail around the world and turn those windows into amazing creative concepts.
Exciting.
And just stay tuned for Black Mark, which obviously Matt will be detailing on his various platforms as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for calling in.
Really appreciate the time. Thank you.
Congratulations. Have a great day. You too. Bye-bye. That was executive producer Nate Elliott, and we were talking about Black Mark, exploring the riveting story of former NBA star Matt Barnes, who was the target of a hate crime while a senior in high school. All the information and links are up on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And I'll give you an update on where you can see the film. Again, I have all the links, and there's a great interview with Matt up on my show blog as well. If you're not familiar with KUCI, you can always head over to kuci.org, and we have an eclectic mix of public affairs and music shows. Lots to see there. If you're not familiar with my show, I'm here every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. I started this one in 2011 and have loved every moment, and every guest I've ever interviewed is up on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. All right, we'll take a short break, and then we will be back. I'm Janine, and this is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.